Okay, let's continue, and we will do question number 8. Is why can an individual kanji be read in more than one way? And what we have here is like most kanji or Chinese characters have at least 2 readings. Okay, I'm going to take out that is 2 ways they can be pronounced, okay, if you like that. But one is the Japanese way called kunyomi, and the other is a Chinese way called onyomi. Before Chinese characters were adopted in the Japanese language, Japanese was only a spoken language. Okay, so before Chinese characters were adopted in the Japanese language, Japanese was only a spoken language. Or Japanese was a spoken language only. Or before Chinese characters were used in the Japanese language, Japanese was a spoken language only. Then I have my own answer. The meaning of the Chinese character, for the meaning of the Chinese kanji, or character, was put with the Japanese words, was put with the Japanese word with the same meaning. So they applied the meaning of the kanji to the native Japanese word, giving the kanji the Japanese pronunciation. So we have some words with the Chinese character pronunciation and some words with the Japanese original native Japanese pronunciation. Okay, does that make sense? I'll try to repeat it again. Most kanji or Chinese characters have at least 2 readings. The one is the Japanese way called kunyomi, and the other is a Chinese way called onyomi. Before Chinese characters were adopted into the Japanese language, Japanese was a spoken language only. The meaning of the Chinese characters was put with the Japanese words having the same meaning. They applied them, therefore they applied the meaning of the kanji to the native Japanese word, giving the kanji the Japanese pronunciation. If I explain that, I'm not real good at this, but I'm not real good at kanji, but like you have a word, is this flower? Something like that. So what they did is in Japanese you have the word hana, which means flower. So they took the kanji, this meaning, and said, oh, this means flower, so let's make this pronunciation hana. Okay? Or they did this one, like north. Kita. They said, oh, this means north, so let's make this kita, because it means north. In Japanese native language, kita is north. So what they did is they applied the kanji to the meaning, giving this kanji the Japanese native language pronunciation, in addition to the original Chinese pronunciation. Okay, so that's what they did. They took the meaning and applied it to the Japanese word with the same meaning. They also, at the same time, gave it the Japanese pronunciation. Okay, so let's try what your answers are. What do you have for the answer to question 8 about the kanji having more than one way to be read?
Most kanji or Chinese characters can be pronounced at least in 2 ways. One is the Japanese way called kunyomi, and the other is the Chinese way called onyomi. Then, when the Japanese adopted Chinese characters, the original Japanese is the just spoken language.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And some of the, but they adopted some of the Chinese pronunciation of the characters. So the Japanese characters can be read at least two ways.
Okay, so they have the Chinese pronunciation, but see, what is missing in this answer is they also applied the meaning to the original Japanese word. So the original kanji has the Chinese pronunciation, which is based on sound, and the Japanese kunyomi, which is based on the meaning. So therefore, they have two different sounds at least, because the kunyomi is the meaning of this and with the Japanese sound. Okay, it's complicated. That's what's missing, is that they have... Oh, so they adopted the Chinese sound, so we have two different ways to say it. No, it's the other way. They put the kanji on top of the Japanese sound. So the kanji, you say, this means flower, so let's call this hana. This means north, let's call this kita. And they ended up with two different pronunciations, the Chinese pronunciation and the Japanese pronunciation. Okay, we want to practice again. You want to try? Tell me, why do kanji have two or more ways to be read?
Kanji, or Chinese ideographs, are introduced to Japan in the 5th century. Kanji, or Chinese ideograms, introduced in the 5th century. We have two readings in almost all kanji, which are called onyomi and kunyomi. The onyomi, on reading, is based on the sound of the kanji character as pronounced by the Chinese at that time the character was introduced.
Right.
And also from the area it was imported. This is the reason the on reading might be quite different from standard Mandarin today.
Mm-hmm.
The kunyomi, or kun reading, is a native Japanese reading associated with the meaning of kanji. Almost all kanji have on reading except for kanji developed in Japan.
Okay. All right, yeah, that kind of answers the question. Good. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is your answer? Why do kanji have more than one way to be read?
Japanese language was originally only a spoken language, but people wanted to record, so we adopted the Chinese letters. So how to read Chinese character in a Japanese way, it became kunyomi. And the original reading of a Chinese way stayed onyomi. So every Chinese character has two ways to read kunyomi and onyomi.
Yeah, there's two ways, because you have the Chinese way and the Japanese way. Why do you have the Japanese way? Why do you need... See, this is what's missing. You have the original Chinese pronunciation that became kind of Japanese sounding. But why do you have kunyomi?
Kunyomi, we adopted the Chinese, only Chinese characters for Japanese original meaning. So how to pronounce Chinese character at that time Japanese way?
Okay, yeah, that's kind of, yeah. So what they did is that they used the Chinese meaning and put it to the Japanese original word, giving the Chinese kanji the Japanese pronunciation of the word.
So how to pronounce Chinese character at that time became different.
Yeah, so they Chinese. Had the... Right, they gave the meaning... The Chinese kanji had a meaning, and so they applied that meaning to the Japanese word, giving it the Japanese pronunciation for the word. Okay, so I said that's what's missing. Everyone's listening now. We have the Chinese word, so we use the Chinese pronunciation om. But the kunyomi is not explained very well. Okay, so what I said is what they did is they took the meaning of the Chinese character, whether it's flower, whether it's north, and put it to the Japanese pronunciation, giving the kanji the Japanese pronunciation. So the Japanese pronunciation of north is characters, bay or kita, hoku or koku, but the Japanese pronunciation is kita. So they gave the kanji the Japanese pronunciation. So we have two ways of saying it. Okay? Yeah? I know it's hard. You know, shiro is another, I mean, they're all like that, right? Shiro, the simple white. Shiroi is Japanese pronunciation of the character, but haku is the Chinese. So they gave the Japanese pronunciation because it meant white to the meaning, and then they left the Chinese sound, haku, to use.
In Japan, Chinese characters are only for nouns or ideographic meanings. How to express in China verbs or adjectives?
Well, yeah, the Chinese use, one of the examples is a verb, it's not used for just nouns, but it can be. Nouns and concepts. So, benkyo, to study. The Japanese benkyo suru, they put the suru on the part to make it a verb. Kakuni, right? Confirmation. They put the suru on to make it a verb. But the kakunin, the benkyo, are nouns or concept.
So in China, just benkyo, it also means benkyo suru.
It could be. I don't know Chinese. But yes, they put the combination together. Again, I'm not sure how that, you know, you get the kanji patterns. Usually two kanji together are written, or spoken with the Chinese pronunciation.
And I hear Chinese has shise. Mama.
Well, yes, she say it called the
tones.
Tones.
It disappeared when we adopted only letters.
Yes, well, it disappeared because Japanese doesn't have this tone. She say, what did you say? Doesn't have tones. So it took it away. But yeah, Chinese has other ways of making verbs and things. They don't need the suru. Okay? All right. This one's really difficult to explain, but you have to know in your mind what they did. And I think, as I said, what's lacking is the kunyomi part is lacking. They gave the meaning to the Japanese word and gave the kanji the Japanese pronunciation. Okay? All right, let's go on then. There's another question, 9, which is, why is there so much Japanese English? You want to answer, why is there so much Japanese English, question 9?
We adopted Chinese as our letters, Japanese people can adopt everything. So when English became our second language, people, when we express the things from abroad, very conveniently use the English word, but in Japanese way, so vowel in the end. And Japanese people used to abbreviate. So,
Used to abbreviating.
Japanese people
are used to
abbreviating. Mm-hmm. So, for example, sexual harassment in Japanese. Not Japanese. In Japanese expression, it became sekuhara.
Right, Japanese is the word. No, there's no such word in English, sekuhara. So Japanglish or Japanese English, okay.
Japanese English, it became Sekiha. In Japan, we can understand very easily some English, Japanese English. But it makes more difficult when we study English as English itself.
Yes, that's true. All of this you know, strange English. And sometimes people say garbage English doesn't help you learn English. Because you have katakana words or your pronunciation is bad and the word is not even normal. In Bakumira, there's no such thing. So it doesn't help you. But anyway, that's reasons why you have it. Because of Japanese use to abbreviating things, you do that also. In Japanese, you do that. Right? Mm. So, you know, wase the keo becomes soke.
Bakumira, kind of really, thing. You cannot understand?
No. People don't know
Bakumira.
Yeah.
Back mirror. Very understandable word.
You think so? Yeah. Well, that's probably, I don't think it's not as bad as some, but still, back mirror, they don't know what's a back mirror. It's if you put a ushiro kagami, would you understand?
I see.
Would you understand?
Handle you never use. Feel. Driving feel.
Wheel. Handle is steering wheel.
Steering wheel.
S-T-E-E-R-I-N-G. Yeah, automobile parts are nuts. They're crazy. There's so many things of automobile industry. They ruin the English. They don't use the right English, and then they don't use Japanese. So you end up with a mixture of like nothing language that nobody understands anyplace else. Yeah, the automobile industry with car parts is axle and, you know, the acceleration. So they've just totally taken the English and made it garbage that nobody understands. And it doesn't help you know the English either, right? You don't know the car parts. So I'm trying to, you know, where is this axle? What's an axle, you know? You know, handle. There's no handle on a car. The handle is a door handle. Tote. You know, so anyway. But that's the answer. Anyway, I as an English teacher, I like, you know, to have make comments about this, but I won't too much. I made some already. Why is there so much Japanese English?
Japanese English are created in various situations. For example, bakumira. Means rear view mirror. In this case, the real English is too difficult to understand or too difficult to pronounce. And for another example, there is a pasokon in Japanese. Pasokon means personal computer. In this case, the English itself is too long, so the Japanese made it shorter. And sometimes the words just put together in English-like fashion. And in such example, there is a bedroom, a bedtown in Japanese. And this means the bedroom suburb in English.
Okay, right. All right. You know, they use words. So the example they use is bakumira, a lot of these car parts. So what happens is, how do you say kurakusho in English?
Kurakusho.
What is that? Kurakusho, right. What do you say? Production, right?
Horn,
yeah, okay. You can see what happens in everything that production is katakana. So people think it's English, so then they say, oh, we did the production. I go, no, that's horn. So you have Japanese, I don't even know where production comes from. But see, people assume it must be English, so then they try to use it and it doesn't work. So what I said, that the automobiles, cars, the parts, and they just don't match, but it's such a mess because you don't have Japanese either, and you don't have real English.
What if the most surprised words for you?
Oh, surprise words? Some of the, well, this is a funny incident because the Japanese applying appu, meaning to improve or to raise. So one of the funniest things is a TV commercial on, they're advertising, what is it? You have the Japanese, burajia, what is it?
Buraja.
And they're trying to advertise this bra, the burajia, buraja. And they're saying, if you wear this, you bust it up.
Oh.
So in English, of course, bust up has different meanings. But I looked at that and I started laughing. Now this is funny because in English, I bust up. You say, I busted up laughing. Bakusho is bust up. Oh, we, you know, to bust up is to bakusho, to make a very laugh very hard. But I heard this bust up, you know, and I'm, so that's kind of like, oh my God, that's not even English, but the bust up, this thing, this up, level up is Japanese use a lot, right? Level up. So the up, up is used terrible, terrible. It's not English at all. Level up is to improve my level. Right? So these things. But bust up to me is, everybody laughs when I tell them this because bust up also means to break apart. To bust up the, what do you bust? I don't know. To bust up the house or something. To bust it up or to bust up the toy. To break it apart. But anyway, so it's applied just very strangely. So that's one of the funniest, one to me funniest, when I started watching the TV. Okay, let's go on then. What do you, why do you think there's so much Japanese English?
I would rather say, like to say, they are. No, I don't want to call Japanese English. I'm going to say that's already Japanese words originated from English. I also, I think Japanese are genius in applying or creating things out of the original form. That's my answer.
Okay.
It's not the Japanese English. It's Japanese words already.
Based on English?
Yes, originating
okay.
from English.
All right. One of the things Japanese do is mix the Japanese and English too. Depachika.
Ah.
Yeah, depachika. This department store is kind of not even itself. Depa. Even depato is another, well, he said, kind of Japanese use of the English word department store. But then they make it short, depa, and then they get chika as the basement, right? The
yes.
underground. So those are words that are also interesting.
It's time saver.
Yeah, it's a time saver.
Department, depa.
Yeah, it saves of time, right? And what a digikame is really nice. Handy, right? Digikame? Kame?
Digikame?
Is the digital camera is handy. But what do you think, though? So my question, what do you think about so much use of this katakana in English, in Japanese? Do you think it's good? Do you think it's ruining your language?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay. Some purists, people who are very pure, think it's ruining your language.
Language itself got to change.
It has to change?
It's changing. It's
Well, no, okay, I can see how it changes.
It's evolution.
Why do you, well, for example, this, the idea of, it's in insistence of using English, so the word back view mirror. Okay, now why do you insist to use English for bakumira? Why don't you use some Japanese words instead? See, that's what I'm saying. Mirror, you have kagami. I don't know if it works, but
kagami and mirror. Mirror is easier to say. Kagami.
No, it doesn't have to be easier, but why do you do that? Because Japanese, compared to other people, just put everything into English more. Chinese don't use English. Spanish people don't use. They adopt their words to their own language. So they stay more pure. Japanese now is, you can't talk if you can't speak katakana. You can't talk to each other. I said Japanese.
If you put itself, the idea in itself is from West.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't make other people. I know that's true. But other languages and people don't insist that. They make it so that their people understand it, not, you know, something because it's from the West, we have to use Western language, no. So it's just a theory, you know, the debating all the time, you know.
It's Japanese nature.
Yeah, it is something about Japanese nature. You have something, it's not like a lot of places, no, because some people in other countries, you know, don't just adopt everything and put it into using English.
But it's really hard to explain that. Because we don't know why we so adapted so much.
Yeah, you don't know. She said, I don't know how to explain. Yeah, nobody knows the reason, but it's an interesting topic of discussion, right? So
When somebody asks you about that, how do you always explain?
About which one? How, why? Yeah, the Japanese have always been more adaptable than other cultures, I think. That's it. Mm-hmm. But there's also something about status. English also, using English sounds neat.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, I know English. Do you? You know, there's something about that that's in Japanese thing. What do you think? You think, you know, the... Some like Chinese, and I'm not sure. I don't speak Chinese, but I've heard like they adopt the meaning and use the Chinese, like kombini. Japanese is short and convenience store into kombini. Whereas in Chinese, I heard that if the kanji, if you look at it, something like bendi shoten. Right. So they don't destroy their language; it stays there, but the store is there, but it has the Chinese, but Japanese don't even think about benditen, right? They just kind of kombini, you know. So there's something different, and Spanish don't adopt so much English either. They do some, but not as much. So
even after 10 years, Japanese people study English, they are not good at English. So how much we rent English words.
We adopt, not rent, adopt English words.
Maybe no worrying, Japanese still exist as Japanese.
Yeah, I think so. Well, yeah, because these words, like she said, they're based on English, but they're really Japanese a lot, right?
And
so they don't translate, or they don't translate, what is it? They aren't understood.
And in World War II, especially in baseball, English, yes. Any English words were prohibited to use.
Yes.
Very inconvenient, as you said.
Well, why was it inconvenient? To me, using your native language
Dasai.
Is... No, it's not Dasai. So, that's what people think. It's not Dasai. I think it's easier to communicate in your own language than some borrowed language. See, that's how English people feel. We don't... Even in English, which is a major language, is, you know, dominating. But
Japanese,
we don't adopt...
Some Japanese words, sake, sushi, of course, Japanese origin is invading in English world.
Yeah, no, they do some, but a lot of the stuff, they don't do that. Most food is hard to translate in food, but a lot of other things, no. So, to me, you know, English doesn't adopt a lot of words from other languages, unfortunately. The English pushes out all the English to everybody, but we don't adopt a lot of words. And so, everyone says, well, Japanese was so difficult, and they couldn't say sturaiki. They had to say, what, batsu or something? I don't know what you said. Or for ball, it was yoshi. What was it? Strike was yoshi or something. In baseball language, you couldn't use English. So they had batsu and yoshi or yosh kind of thing or something, you know. Because that was the enemy's language.
They say yakyu, but not baseball, it's too long.
Well, yeah, some things, that's some of the things, because in the old days when they made this in Meiji era, I give people from Meiji, they really, you know, use their heads, yaku or something, rather than beisuboru. Nowadays, people don't think about making Japanese words. They just borrow the English, take the English, right? Like, for example, when email first came, people first started to say denshi meiru. Now, no, people nowadays don't even say the denshi, it's just email. Where Spanish uses, you know, it's like denshi yubin. It sounds funny. Everyone laughs, oh, denshi yubin, ha ha ha, they laugh. But if you put it in, it would make sense. You know, Japanese think very different. You know, one thing is this yubin is something that's a letter kind of thing. So the application of Japanese is very defined, right? Very, very komakai. That's because Japanese are good at doing things very technically and very detailed. But the language itself doesn't expand because you can't apply things to different, a wider thing. You know, when I think of like Hanetsuki and Hagoita, it's a racket. But if you say Hagoita for tennis, people are going to laugh like it's crazy. But the idea of other languages applying this thing like Hagoita for racket or ping pong or something, they would just apply that word. But Hagoita is a special thing only for that. So the idea of a tennis racket being like a Hagoita, it doesn't work. So that's why Japanese have a very specific detailed thing. I think that's just a cultural thing. You don't, it's not, things can't, don't have a broader application, right? Okay, we have more questions to do. Okay, what is Senbazuru?
Senbazuru is 1,000 folded paper cranes. People send to the person who is hospitalized, especially to wish for early recovery.
Okay. Yeah, all right, it's 1,000 paper cranes. You can put origami cranes if you like to, or 1,000 origami, paper origami cranes, that's fine. Okay, good. What is Senbazuru?
Senbazuru is 1,000 origami cranes. They are sent to a person who is ill or injured to wish that they will recover sooner. And the crane is a symbol of longevity and happiness.
Okay. And what is Senbazuru?
The Senbazuru, the word means 1,000 origami paper cranes held together by string. There was a legend that 1,000 origami cranes will be granted a wish by crane, and such as long life or recovery from illness or injury. I don't know what I wrote.
I think it's kind of told you kind of change in the middle, right? Okay.
The crane in Japan is one of the mystical or holy creature. And it's said to live 1,000 years. Traditionally, it is given as a wedding gift by the folder who is wishing 1,000 years of happiness and prosperity upon the couple. It can also be gifted to a newborn baby for a long life and good luck.
Okay. And usually what, the 1,000 cranes are made as a group effort? Many times. One person doesn't make 1,000. It takes a long time. So a lot of times for like the newborn baby or for the wedding, people, the friends will make lots of cranes and then put them together. Okay? Good. Let's go to what is Junishi? What is Junishi?
Junishi are the 12 signs of the Chinese zodiac. In yearly sequence, they are mouse, ox, tiger, hare, dragon, serpent, horse, sheep, monkey, and
If you want to look, go ahead, yeah. Actually, see, I don't, you know, an answer like this, is there some other information you want to say? Rather than all of them are 12 and they are da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, the answer is okay, but it's a little boring. Mm-hmm. So, for example, some of them are, you know, the mouse, the ox, the what is it, the tiger, the hare, the dragon. And every year, each year is designated as one of the animal signs. Mm-hmm. So this year is the year of the tiger. Mm-hmm. And people all... Some people think that the year you were born, the animal, in the year you were born, you have certain character because of the year you were born because of the animal. Mm-hmm. Something like that. You could add these things rather than just the list. Did you have any other information?
I wanted to add that the New Year's cards. Usually the Japanese people paint the Chinese zodiac on the New Year greeting cards.
Okay, they probably don't, probably not the zodiac, they paint the year of the animal.
The year of the animal. Mm-hmm.
The animal of the year, let's say animal of the year. So year of the animal. Animal of the year on the New Year's cards.
Paint the animal of the year on the New Year cards.
Yeah, if you put, they put the zodiac, or the, it would mean L12 would be there, but you don't put 12 on, do you?
No.
No. So the animal of the year is usually painted or drawn on the New Year's cards. Okay, good. All right, what is Junishi?
Junishi is the 12 signs of the Oriental Zodiac. They are related to the day, the time of day, and the compass directions. The Junishi is not used as a calendar in Japan today, but everybody knows the animal representing the year in which he or she was born. When the sign of a particular year is the same as a man's birth sign, he is termed Toshiotoko, while a woman is termed Toshona.
Okay, so the year, yeah, it's like year of your birth, or year of, sign of your, the symbol of your birth year, kind of, right? All right, and what is Junishi?
Junishi. Japan started adopting the Gregorian calendar in Meiji era, early Meiji 5,
okay.
1873. But the Japanese still recognize Chinese astrological years, such as the year of the rabbit and the year of the dragon. Chinese astrological year has 12 yearly cycle, and it's represented by 12 animals.
So in each year,
mm-hmm. represented by one animal.
Right. Okay.
This year is the year of the tiger. And that's Junishi. Well, also many Japanese consulted lunar calendar for Taiyan lucky days before making decisions or when to go business trips, conduct important meetings, or engage in other important activities. But Junishi is a Chinese astrological year that has a 12 yearly cycle and represented by 12 animals.
Right. Okay, good. All right. Let's go to the last question today, which is the Kikuningyo. What is Kikuningyo?
Kikuningyo, that's a literally chrysanthemum doll. And it means a doll on Christmas, a chrysanthemum made dress. Usually when chrysanthemum season comes in October, chrysanthemum market that has chrysanthemum arts or bonsai will be held at the special site located in the precincts of temples, mm-hmm. and give delight to visitors and make them enjoy the autumnal events.
Mm. Okay. So it's a doll made out of chrysanthemum. Usually here they have, it's a doll made out of chrysanthemum flowers on a frame, usually, right? Yeah. Because it's hard to pile the flowers to make a doll, so they put the flowers on the frame, the shape of a person or something. Okay?
It's stuck in.
Yeah, it's stuck in the frame. What is kikuningyo?
Kikuningyo is a life-size doll made out of chrysanthemum flowers and leaves. They usually represent the figure of the feudal ages, and the famous chrysanthemum festival is held in Yamagata Prefecture in the beginning of the August to the beginning of the November.
Not August, October?
October to the beginning of the November.
Okay, right, October to the beginning of November, right. Okay, yeah, there's several places that have kikuningyo festivals. I'm not sure, I never heard about the one, Yamagata?
Yamagata.
Oh, okay, there's one in Fukushima. Yeah, also, I heard, popular.
And one in Tokyo, too?
Tokyo? Yeah, everywhere, yeah, you can find. They're not as popular, but you can still find. I think someone said Fukui also has a kikuningyo festival. Okay, what is kikuningyo?
Kikuningyo is a life-size chrysanthemum doll on a wire frame. Chrysanthemums were stacked.
Okay, say that again. Okay. What is kikuningyo? Make two sentences, I think you would be better.
Kikuningyo is a chrysanthemum life-size doll.
Okay.
A lot of various kinds of chrysanthemums are stuck in a wire frame. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Face part is just normal painted
face?
Picture.
Okay. Could be. I'm not sure. I forgot. Yeah.
Very famous samurai warriors are models.
Are subjects? Famous samurai warriors are subjects.
Are subjects.
Of
chrysanthemum doll.
Or the theme of the chrysanthemum doll, you could say theme.
Theme of the chrysanthemum dolls.
Right. Okay, so the chrysanthemum dolls are usually in the fall from October to November, right?
Everywhere in Japan.
Yeah, but have you seen it?
Yes, in Okinawa, Chiba.
Oh, you saw in Okinawa, okay.
And when I was small, I was brought to a lot, but I forgot the face part.
Oh, okay. I don't remember the face.
Express.
Well, the face is used instead. The face instead of being chrysanthemums is a painted face.
Yeah, face and hands and some, but it's a combination together with chrysanthemum.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like so the hands and the face are like maybe not chrysanthemums, but a combination of chrysanthemums and the yeah. So. Yeah, they're quite interesting to look at. Some, besides just being people, I've seen a samurai helmet.
Kabuto.
Yeah, kabuto. I've seen a samurai helmet that was made on the frame that's chrysanthemum. So that was interesting. Okay, I think we're probably about finished for time. Maybe I talked too much today, I'm sorry. But yeah, some of these topics were interesting to talk about. Do you have any questions?
Is chrysanthemum a common flower in America too?
Yes, very common.
So autumn flower.
Autumn. Yeah, so chrysanthemums in the West are very popular, or very common flower.
American national flower is it? Japan's national flower is chrysanthemum.
No.
No, cherry.
No.
No.
It's the imperial crest is chrysanthemum.
Right, Imperial Crest is a chrysanthemum, but what is the Japanese national flower?
To me, it's a cherry blossom.
I don't know.
National flower is chrysanthemum.
No, national flower, there is none official chrysanthemum, because there is no national flower. And because I think sakura and the chrysanthemum, I think the Japanese can't decide which one. Maybe it's political. Do you choose the emperor's chrysanthemum, or do you choose the you know, cherry blossoms and the emperor's left out? So I don't know. I think
why
maybe
not
that's
both?
What. Yeah, why not both, right?
Yeah.
Unofficially, I think the chrysanthemum and the cherry blossoms are, but officially you don't have. Yeah, and I'm not sure. She asked me about America, and you know, I don't know if we have a flower. Each state has a flower.
England, maybe rose.
Maybe the rose. You know, in America, well, each state has a flower. But I don't know if we have a national flower. The eagle is a national bird, I guess. National flower. I have to check. Most people wouldn't know. They know their state flower.
France is
Lily. Oh, France is Lily? Oh, okay. Yeah. Fleur de lis is what they call it. Yeah. Okay, I guess is that all? All right, well, good. Thank you. Appreciate you coming. Next week we'll do lesson 11 and be the last lesson for this term. So
I wonder why they missed everybody.
Yeah, anyway, so I hope to see you next week and hope to see everybody next week, right?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you very much.